welcome back to the John Curley and Sherry Ehlicher Show. I'm Jake Skorheim filling in today. John and Sherry are going to be back on Monday. Sitting alongside me now is Spike O'Neill from the Jack and Spike Show. Spike, welcome back.
Happy to be here, my friend.
Everybody's talking about this earthquake stuff. We're going to get to other news here in a second, but I am noticing on the TVs that they keep showing a video that people captured during the quake, the 4.8 quake. There, nobody was injured and no buildings were injured.
Move on.
He's wrong. John.
Have you noticed that all the videos are showing? They're all videos of people who are at home recording like podcasts or something.
Doing
like,
their TikTok.
They're doing like their video stuff.
Yep.
How weird is it that that's the world we live in now where they just have all this footage of people just looking at cameras as it shit. It used to be like you might like back in the day, you might catch an earthquake.
Yeah, you might get a rare security cam.
Yeah. Or like a tourist footage of like, because you're somewhere notable. But now it's just like people just staring into their cameras.
Everybody's a photographer. Everybody's a reporter these days. Everybody's an influencer. So yeah, but there's always 10,000 cameras. No matter what you're looking at, there's 10,000 cameras on.
Yeah. Oh, strange. Very strange. But thankfully, nobody was hurt and nobody's going to listen to those shows. All right. Let's talk really fast about presidential politics. Do you guys know who Dwayne The Rock Johnson is? That's a ridiculous question.
First off, welcome back from your coma. We're glad you're okay. If you don't know who The Rock is, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. No, he's been doing pretty well. He's one of the highest paid superstars in the world for like the past 10 years.
I think he's remade now. Every movie ever made, I believe, has been a Dwayne.
Almost.
Dwayne The Rock
Johnson.
There's one left. Okay.
One left. And then he'll. So he was talking to, I believe this was on Fox and Friends. He did an interview with Fox and Friends. And last presidential election, we're talking politics here for just a second, but last presidential election, he endorsed President Joe Biden for the office, highest office in the land. This time around, he's saying, I'm having some different feelings now. He's not super satisfied with where the country's at. He doesn't like the climate. He doesn't like not the actual climate. He just doesn't like the climate that we're in where everybody's so divided.
Right.
He has some thoughts on it. So they asked him, like, are you going to be endorsing anyone? He says, no, I'm not.
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, you know, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and it's my job then. I felt like that then. It's my job now to exercise my influence and share with this is who I'm going to endorse. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no. I'm not going to do that because what I realized, what that caused back then was something that tears me up in my guts back then and now, which is division.
I'm going to pause it right there. We'll get to the rest of his clip in just a second. What do you think of that?
I appreciate the fact that he is very honest about why he's not endorsing anyone.
Yeah.
Because his endorsement of Biden alienated his supporters who were Trump fans.
Sure.
And it caused further division.
Yeah,
amongst people who are just who care what Dwayne The Rock Johnson thinks about who you should vote for. First of all, I think that I'm not sure how much of an influencer he is. I'm not sure how many people are dictating their vote by how The Rock votes.
I think he's
can you smell how The Rock is voting?
I think
really?
I think he's got a fair amount of influence. I mean, I do think for a certain sector of the public, he's kind of like Taylor Swift. Also wields a tremendous amount of influence. And so I saw an article the other day. There was a Democratic strategist, and he was saying that they're kind of courting the Taylor Swift
vote. The Swifties.
And they were hoping that Taylor Swift would get on board and endorse Biden, because if she did, there are a lot of people out there. I mean, like, she starts dating Travis Kelce. Immediately, the NFL.
Everybody's a Chiefs fan.
And the Kelce Brothers podcast, like, rockets up to the number one podcast in the world. Because of the Taylor Swift effect. So why wouldn't that play into politics as well?
Well, it may. It may very well.
It may.
But I like the fact that Dwayne didn't say, I don't like how Biden's policies have played out. I'm not endorsing Biden because I don't like the job Biden has done. Unless I'm reading this through Biden colored glasses, which I often do.
Sure.
Look at news from my own biased perspective on things. But I think he's saying, look, when you endorse somebody, half the people who don't like who you endorse don't like you. And that causes further division. So he said, you know, you can play the rest of the clips before I reference what he says.
Yeah, let me, I'll finish it out here.
And that got me. The takeaway after that, months and months and months, I started to realize, like, oh man, that caused an incredible amount of division in our country. So I realize now going into this election, I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that because my goal is to bring our country together. I believe in that in my DNA. So in the spirit of that, there's going to be no endorsement. Not that I'm afraid of it at all, but it's just I realize that this level of influence, I'm going to keep my politics to myself. And I think it's between me and the ballot box. But I will tell you this. While, like a lot of us out there, not trusting of all politicians, I do trust the American people. And I trust that whoever they vote for, that's going to be my president. And that's who I'm going to support 100%.
I think this guy sounds like a politician. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation. He even said in an interview recently on the Joe Rogan Experience, I believe, he was asked if the parties had come to him to ask him to run.
Both parties,
and he said that he had been courted. They had asked him if he had any interest in running for the office of President of the United States, President The Rock. Is that somebody that you could ever bring yourself to vote for?
Absolutely,
I could too.
I think so. He's I like who Dwayne Johnson is.
Yeah,
as a person, he's a dad. He's a smart businessman. He's
a great
he understands the level of influence he has.
He's also super ripped, which is important.
Which is important. Well, you make a joke, but you're so right about this. We vote on appearance. We vote on charisma. We need a telegenetic. What's the word?
Yeah. Telegenetic.
Right? Yeah. Right. Somebody who looks good on camera, who presents well.
Yeah, like more Kennedy, so, Nixon. Like
right,
Kennedy was
right.
way you easier
know,
on the eyes.
They say if cameras had been around, America wouldn't have elected Roosevelt because nobody votes for a guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know. So we're in this telegenic age, and The Rock presents well.
Well, Donald
and he's
Trump,
not a stupid guy.
Donald Trump. Say what you want about his politics, the guy's very charismatic.
Oh, he's a magnet. Absolutely.
And
he's a master.
He is fun to watch.
Yeah.
People like watching what he's going to say because they don't know what he's going to say.
Right.
He's not a politician. That's why people liked Donald. They may not have liked him, but they voted for Donald Trump because
he's a disruptor.
He's a different kind of guy. Yeah. I think people were really sick and tired of like politics as usual. And they said, you know what? Why don't we try something new? And Donald Trump was definitely something new.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's interesting that The Rock is talking like this because I could see him a couple of years down the road, maybe not this year, but a couple of years down the road when he decides that he's conquered Hollywood, which he already has. He's already conquered Hollywood.
Yeah.
Why not jump in and be president for a few years?
He can be a uniter. I really think he could. You know, I'm assuming since he endorsed Biden 4 years ago, he probably has more liberal leanings than conservative leanings, I would venture to guess.
He may, or he might be real middle of the road. And, you know, I mean, ideally,
I'd like to hear more.
Got a little of both, possibly. Here's the thing, though, that's kind of interesting. People are not happy. You heard him there talk about how the American public, he trusts the American public with whoever they would vote for. But apparently, right now, according to the Washington Post, Americans are not liking the two candidates who are, you know, the two...
Well, the presumptive nominees.
They're not super fans of either of these guys. And, I mean, I'm sure you've got some hardcore liberals, you've got some hardcore conservatives who really love both Biden and Trump, but the people in the middle who end up making a big difference...
Who make the decision
every year,
clearly.
Those independents, they're not loving either choice. And you're having a lot of folks who are saying, like, I would rather be voting for somebody else. I wish there was someone else to vote for.
Yeah. And the research shows us that third-party candidates could really make a difference. They would vote for a third. The people who say they don't like either overwhelmingly would vote for a valid, legitimate third-party candidate. I don't think we have one in Robert Kennedy Jr. I think the guy brings a little weight, a little too much baggage to be a viable. He's not a Ross Perot. He's not a Ralph Nader, who have been, you know, influential, if not determinative, third-party candidates over our history.
Yeah, it's going to suck votes away from somebody else.
And I don't know if people who don't like either candidate don't like either candidate based on the policies that they put forth. So a lot of people do. A lot of people think Biden is a tax and spend Democrat. A lot of people think Trump is a disruptor or a loose cannon.
Well, a lot of people think Biden is just like Father Time. He's just like the oldest man they've ever seen.
He is. You know, there was some comedian said, look, you know, these guys broke the record for oldest candidates, the one they set four years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Jon Stewart had that bit.
Right, right. But so is it that people don't like the candidates, don't like what's going on, or is it that people have been told by both sides that the other guy is the worst guy they've ever seen come down the pike?
I think it's that.
I think it's we have been told from both sides in with regard to media that this guy's a danger. This guy's a threat. This guy's a crook. This guy's a this. Both sides are into the other side. I think we've been told that not to like these guys.
I feel like a lot of that is just hyperbole, though. Like every election, like I've been, I mean, I'm not that experience in presidential elections, but I've been following them close enough now, at least since, like, you know,
I voted for Ronald Reagan
2004.
My friend, that's how old I've been doing. That's how long I've been doing this.
Well, yeah, and you know then that, like, every 4 years, the hyperbole just, like, goes through the roof, and everybody says it's the end of the world if this person gets voted in, or this person's going to die in office. Like, everybody says those things.
It wasn't always like that. I can tell you from experience, I voted in only when there were six different presidential elections in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay. It hasn't always been like this.
When do you think the conversation got ramped up?
Oh, I got to say in 2016, I really
Trump
do.
Hillary?
Yeah, I think the thread and the flavor and the of the nature of campaigning changed dramatically with Donald Trump.
You think Donald Trump's responsible?
I do. And yeah. and to
I disagree with it.
You don't bring chess pieces to a checkers game. You play the game you're sitting in.
Yeah.
And when you've got one guy who's willing to say and do anything. You know, the guy who gets in, you know, you can't debate Donald Trump because he's cracking jokes and the crowd loves it.
Well, what are you talking about?
With a debate.
No, Christie's, he's eating right now. He can't be bothered.
Yeah, little Marco, small fingers, whatever
Sir,
it is.
Sir, please do not call him a fat pig. That's very disrespectful. Don't call him.
And people
see,
love
I'm
this.
I'm trying to be nice. Don't call him a fat pig. You can't do it. You can't do that. So now, because you're not allowed to do that, and therefore we're not going to do it, okay? We want to be very civil, right?
You're beautiful. When the Republican presidential primary debates, turned into name-calling and one-upping and laugh lines and tag lines and gotcha lines.
But it's not just Republicans who do that. Hillary had her deplorable line. What was that, 2016?
That wasn't a debate line. It wasn't
I'm not saying it's a debate line. But you're insulting half the country saying that they're deplorable.
Well, you can say that there's a basket of deplorables. And if you don't think there were deplorable people who backed Trump, then you're in denial.
Well,
and she didn't call everybody who voted Republican in this country.
All I'm saying is
maybe deplorable.
All
that
I'm saying is I disagree that it's all coming from Trump. There's hyperbole on both sides. They ramp it up through the roof.
Have you seen evidence of a Democratic presidential debate where it's the name calling like this was?
Where it's the name calling?
Yeah.
That's
what I'm talking about.
That is a special Trump skill.
Trump
has a special skill.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what became a bigger win than debating issues, debating policy
points.
But
they have been calling names for years. Years and years they call each other names. They say horrible things about each other.
But they used to have debates based on issues.
Here's the thing. Trump probably, and I'm not sitting here defending Trump. I wish there was another candidate than Trump, and I wish there was another candidate than Biden.
I do too.
I don't like either of them.
Too.
I feel like Brewster's Millions. I just want anybody but either of these two guys.
Mr. Brewster, could you please give us your reasons for your sudden and unexpected candidacy?
I figure voting for Salvino or Heller is just as silly as them running for office, which is just as silly as me running for office. The only thing not silly is the power of the people's vote. And I think the people should use it to vote for them. None of the above.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
There's a lot of people who are just saying, you know what? I'm just going to sit this one out. I'm not interested. I don't want to vote for either of these candidates. I don't like them. They're either too old or they call people names or they don't seem like they're with it. Like, there are general concerns with Biden that, like, is he really the one making the decisions?
You know what? I don't think he should be making the decisions on most days. And I think that's fair about every president. I think every president should listen to educated experts
of course.
Their fields and make decisions based upon gathering information and opinions from experts, right?
Yes.
All presidents do that, and Biden does that.
Yeah.
And he weighs in with the information given him. Trump doesn't do that. Never does. He thinks he's the smartest guy in every room he's in.
I'm sure I've seen plenty of Biden interviews as well. Biden thinks he's the smartest guy. The general nature of somebody who decides to run for the president, the highest office in the land,
narcissist.
Every single one of them thinks they're the smartest person in the world. I think they're all nuts.
I'm with you,
to be honest.
See, this is what we do. We talk.
Get along so well. We think they're all nuts. All right, really fast.
I'd vote for Joe in a heartbeat.
One heartbeat away.
Joe, our Joe, not that Joe, not their Joe.
I got you. Don't worry.
I'd vote for Joe. Why not?
Heartbeat.
I would vote for, I'm not even kidding though. I would vote for The Rock. Why not? I would vote for The Rock.
I think I would too.
He's a good guy. He seems like a good dude. Character really matters to me. Character counts.
It does.
I like how important his family is to him. The most important thing in my world is my family, just as I know it is
it
in yours.
Is to me
same
as
with
well.
Joe.
Yep.
And so with people like that, like I, you know, if he has a healthy, happy family, he's doing something right. He's also good at business. I like all those things.
I do too.
I would vote for A Rock at this point. Not just The Rock.
It's just
any rock,
random rock I would vote for.
Preferably.
All right. I want to play this really quick clip and get you guys' take on this. Are you guys watching March Madness?
Sure.
Do you know what about the brackets? Are you excited about all that stuff?
Of course.
Let's check in with Vice President Kamala Harris. She's one heartbeat away from the presidency. Let's see what she has to say about the brackets.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think about that and what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress and what that has done. Because, of course, when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But, you know, what? Just how we love March Madness. And even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered. You know, and this is the reality. People used to say, oh, women's sports, who's interested? Well, if you can't see it, you won't be. But when you see it, you realize, oh.
And I play that clip just in jest. She's getting a lot of flack for that today, for not understanding the women's brackets. They've actually had them since 1982, since the women's tournament has been around.
Yeah.
What she's referring to actually is in 2021, the Women's Basketball Oversight Committee decided to adopt the phrase March Madness to put in front of the women's tournament, which until then was only a phrase used because it's a marketing phrase.
Yeah, it is.
In front of the men's basketball tournament. So I think she was just a little mixed up there.
A little bit there, yeah. And to her overall point was that we've made progress, that the women's sports have kind of risen up to be on, not a level playing field, but gotten close to the men's. And they can.
The women's tournament.
The
this
women's
year
tournament is way more rushing.
That's Iowa and Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah. Her Final Four appearance, everyone's getting super excited about. The last game that they played, the Elite Eight, had 12.8 million viewers.
Biggest audience ever for a woman's basketball game, college basketball game.
Bigger than five of the last year's NBA final games.
Yeah, you get great competition amongst great athletes. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
it's
really cool.
Finally.
Very cool. You've got a problem with your vehicle. There's only one place to take it. Bucky's Auto Service Center's 52 years, 16 locations. It's just the best experience you could possibly have. Get Bucky's. Is that what it is? Get Bucky's.
Get Bucky's.
Go to Bucky's. Get Bucky's. Jake Skorheim filling in. John and Sherry are out. Spike O'Neill's with me. Thank you so much, Spike, for hanging around. You
my
already
pleasure,
did
my
three
friend.
Hours.
Yeah, easy stuff.
This easy stuff.
Fun.
Yeah, it's fun. All right. I feel like I'm going to preemptively apologize to our audience for this next segment. Because this made me so uncomfortable when I was doing some research into this, when I was looking at it. I hate everything about this story, but I feel like it is incumbent upon us to tell the audience about this so that we can share that this is a thing that's happening and that they should try to avoid if possible.
Okay.
Kid influencers online. Do you know what have you ever heard? I never even heard of Generation Alpha. Do you know what Generation Alpha is?
It's the babies, right? It means.
Yeah, they're babies.
After Gen Z, it's what's next.
Less than 10 years old is Generation Alpha. Kids born between 2010 and 2024. These kids now, because they're born in the world of social media, they're born, it's just like it's second nature to them. They didn't have to learn to use it. It is just part of life.
Yeah.
They're now becoming profitable influencers. And it's frightening. Did you watch these videos?
There's videos of a pair of 7-year-old twins who are influencers on TikTok who do makeup tips.
Yeah.
And they've got literally hundreds of thousands of TikTok followers. They're making incredible amounts of money as
millions
little baby
of people
influencers.
Millions of people watching their videos. And I guess they're going through their mom's account. Like it's on their mom's account, but it's their. I'm going to play you audio from one of these. This is just gross. They're called the Garza sisters or the Garza family, I guess. Or the Garza crew is what they're called. They went viral on TikTok back in 2020 after their mother, Andrea Garza, participated in the trending Flip the Switch challenge with one of the girls. In about a week, the family's first ever video had racked up more than 100,000 views, and then the toddlers were on their way to internet fame. I have a whole lot of stuff to say about parents who would do something like this. We'll get into that in just a second, but if you want to hear a little bit of a child influencer, here's what that sounds like.
Get ready for me to go out for dinner. First up, my bronzy and my goldie drop.
I should describe what she's doing here. This is a 7-year-old girl. She's staring into the camera like all influencers do, which is kind of like dead behind the eye look. And she's putting bronzer on her cheeks.
Her bronzy.
Mm-hmm. And she's putting makeup on. The 7-year-old is putting makeup on, which
drops.
Is also a thing that I find very questionable.
Seven. Unless you're going to Little Miss Austin, Texas pageant.
Exactly.
Which also I have a problem with.
7-year-old makeup person.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm going out to dinner at a restaurant. I'll let her tell the rest.
I literally love this restaurant. It's my favorite. Literally, I'm obsessed. Next up, we're using this as blush. Guys, oh my gosh, I can't, like, tell you how excited I am. Ah! Let's blend. Make sure to always go up. Makes the look better, does it? Oh my gosh, I look so good. I'm just adding a little bit of concealer. Blend. A little bit of eyeshadow. I think I'm going to do the gold tonight. Do it like a windshield wiper.
Please make it stop.
Ugh, I got to turn. Honestly, we had 30 more seconds. I can't even play it. It's awful. All right. So the sibling duo are part of a new wave of I'm going to read some details, then we'll talk about it. Are part of a new wave of Gen Alpha influencers. Again, they're born between the years of 2010 and 2024. They're building a huge following online. Their mother, again, Adria Garza, says they love it. They think it's so cool that people know who they are and want to take a picture with them wherever they go. It's a market that's grown in recent years and is strong enough to sustain its own app. I'm not even going to say the name of the app because I don't want to give them any business. The app has a kid talent roster, and it features an already famous group of child stars who were recruited onto the app. Again, these are adults who are seeking out children online. And those who grew this app simply through posting, according to the president of this app. Again, I'm not going to say the app because I think this is super creepy. The mom says, let's see here. The mom says, because people are concerned about this, people have been sending emails and nasty things, I guess.
Yeah.
She says, I think that it's great that other people are worried about things. But this is probably the least of the worries that I have that they would have. My kids are just great, and I wish we would focus more on things like homelessness. I mean, it's been freezing, and I go to bed every night, and I tuck my girls in, and I'm just so blessed that they have somewhere to sleep at night that's warm. So she'd rather talk about homelessness than her kids being on this makeup tutorial apps. What do you think about something like this?
I think it's bordering on child abuse. I think it's irresponsible parenting. I think you're selling your kids' mental health and ability to be normal children to make money on the internet.
100%.
I get that there's how do you tell a parent who's got to worry about paying bills or paying for college in a tough economy that you can't use the assets of your kids doing something they feel is very natural, very innocent. I mean, you and I look at it the same way, and neither natural nor innocent. But they mean well. Their intentions aren't malicious.
I don't know that.
Well, I mean, how do you tell a parent that they? Well, I know your kid can make $200,000 doing these makeup tutorials, but we don't want you to do that because it's inappropriate. I think that's how you tell them.
Yeah,
I don't think these kids should be doing this.
I just think that, like, okay, as a parent, I just could never imagine introducing my kids. We've talked about this many times. Like, we talked about it yesterday. Social media is so damaging to kids. We all agree that social media is damaging to kids. Even more so, influencer life, like the tutorials of these kids who are now introduced to the idea that you're not good enough as you are. These 7-year-old girls are sitting there going like, oh, if I want to look pretty and feel pretty, then I need to smear makeup all over my face.
I have no measure of a success that is less than 10 million views
or
something like that.
That's another thing.
Yeah. And the mom said, you know, would they love going out and being recognized and ask for their autographs?
That's weird.
What happens if that goes away? How does your kid feel like a normal, happy kid if no one's throwing adoration at them anymore?
That's a great question, because these kids are never experiencing life where they're not famous. Like, how does it work out for child actors? Not great.
And that's been a thing for decades that we've known. They typically have a rough time when they're not famous anymore, and this just amplifies that.
Have you guys seen, there's a docuseries out right now. I think you can watch it on Max if you have a subscription to that, but I think it's on, it might be Investigation Discovery. I'm not sure. But there's a docuseries called Quiet on the Set that everybody's talking about.
Right, yeah.
Have you started watching that yet?
I've watched one episode, yeah.
Super creepy, right? It's basically like it takes you behind the scenes at Nickelodeon back in the 1980s and 90s, and it's telling this very uncomfortable story of how these kids were put into situations with adults that they absolutely should not have been put into.
Right. We're breaking kids for money to profit off of it.
How is this any different?
It's not.
The only argument that you could make is that this mom has these kids in the care of her own home, and she's not sending them out into some production studio with a lot of dark corners.
You're right. That's a distinct difference, and this is probably a lot safer. But here's the thing.
No, it's not safer.
Okay, gosh, I think you're about to make the same point I was about to make. Go ahead.
The devil that you are inviting into your house with all of the commentators, all the commenters online, all the different people that are now going to have access into the psyche of these kids because she's thrusting them into the public spotlight at 7 years old. I think you would have to be a psychopath to do this to your kids. Somebody who's maybe not a psychopath, but like clearly somebody who very much is not considering what life is going to look like for these kids 20 years from now.
Yeah, and you're drunk with the idea that we're going to make a ton of money and life's going to be great for these kids. These kids will be able to go to great colleges and have and travel the world and become broader individuals. But look what you're trading to get that. You're trading your kids' innocence and your sense of normalcy. You know, they've got 200,000 followers. Some of them are actually children because a lot of them aren't. I got news for you.
Isn't that weird? Like, as a parent, would you find that strange that you have an adult following your 7-year-old kid?
Yeah, completely unsettling. Makes me zook.
I do not understand how people do this kind of stuff these days. I heard a conversation the other day. I think it was on Gene Ursula's show. And they were talking about whether or not it should be illegal for parents to profit off their kids online.
It's a great question. I think it should be illegal.
It seemed,
first blush, I'd have to, you know, look into it a little bit and learn, because there may be situations where it's okay. Okay, you're not doing things that are detrimental or long-term harmful.
To me, it's... The position that you're putting these kids in, you don't know what the outcome is going to be 20 years from now. And I think what you were saying earlier about how if they get used to the idea that being recognized all the time is the best thing in the world.
Or that becomes normal.
Or that's the expectation. Anything less
than that is, nobody likes me anymore.
Yeah. Think of the depression that they're going to feel now just with living a normal life. Like suddenly just living their life without somebody else giving them positive affirmations is not going to be enough.
Well, maybe the pool boy bringing another juice box is going to be enough because they've got so much money.
Yeah, maybe they've got a lot of money. You're right. That could be. But, I mean, it's just like, this is the prime age. I just cannot imagine that this is a thing. I'm also upset because they have, like, all these deals. One of these here, I'm trying to find it here. They have partnerships.
With makeup companies.
With makeup companies. Yeah. And the NBA, who partners with some of these things. Because they're trying to get the young kids to be connected into the NBA. So it's like a pipeline for future fans.
You bet.
Which, to me, I'm just like, there's got to be a way to make future fans instead of going through these weird influencers.
Jack and I talked about this, and I wish I'd have brought this up earlier because we're out of time again. Is this the responsibility to not do this to a child, does it fall solely on the parents, or is there also some responsibility for the social media platforms?
Of course.
That are allowing Gen Alpha influencers to make money at the expense of these kids' well-being.
That's why I didn't even want to say the name of this one. That's like the most famous kid roster thing.
Yeah.
This is a very creepy thing. Grown adults... having a roster of shiny little kids that they're going out there
all
to sell.
All made up. Yep, for
That's
sale.
A very creepy thing.
I agree.
I don't like it. If you like it, you're free to let us know on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476.
Well, you turn your phone number over to the proper authorities.
We're happy to hear a differing opinion.
Completely anonymous.
In this case, you would be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
This is fast.
It's working.
It means it's working. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. I came up with that. Nobody's ever said
Did
that.
Did you really?
Me. Yeah.
I make $17. I use that so much.
Porch pirates. You want to talk about porch pirates
for
a second?
Yeah, I bet I do.
Have you ever experienced this?
I have.
What do you feel when somebody walks up and steals something off your porch?
Completely violated. And my wife, who's at home, stay-at-home mom, my wife. You know, I've been lucky enough in my life to be able to... to support the family with one income, which is a rarity in these days, right?
My wife is too.
Yeah, good for you, buddy.
She's at home raising our four kids.
Yep. Well, we had just the two, and they came 14 years apart, so we had two only children.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another topic for another show. But and nowadays you get delivery notifications with them. Usually it's Amazon, or the UPS does the same thing, though, where they drop something at your front door. And when you get a notice to go out there and it's gone, my wife does not feel safe the rest of the day, week, month. I mean, it takes a long time for my wife to get over.
Yeah, it's not
a feeling of violation.
Yeah, it feels like somebody has stepped onto your property. Does this happen to you, Joe? Yeah. Do you ever get this?
We get it a little. So we live in an apartment building, so it's less common as it is on the porches.
Right, they drop it at our front door.
Yeah, they usually drop it in the office, or they have now we got Amazon lockers. So it used to happen quite a bit when we first moved in. Somebody was sneaking in, and they just take everything and take off. But not so much anymore.
My wife does so much Amazon business. They're actually building a distribution hub at the end of my street to save fuel.
That's nice.
I wonder if I get an Amazon locker put up on our front porch.
Probably.
We get so much.
Yeah, it's happening a lot. There's a guy in Chicago. He was sick of it. He had had enough, and so he set up his porch camera because he wanted to catch this. And he's watching. You know, you can watch the live porch cameras.
Yeah.
So he's watching live. Little does the thief know, on the other side of the door, he is waiting, and he is waiting with a baseball bat.
Oh. Yo.
First and foremost, please don't try this at home. But one New Yorker, fed up with porch pirates targeting his neighborhood, decided to take matters into his own hands. The only way to make this more New York is to put a slice of pizza in his other hand, right? The guy with the bat there is Carlos Meja. Mejia. Thank you very much, Shirley. After he and his neighbors fell victim to a string of these package snatchings, Mejia got creative, putting out a fake package as bait. And then he waited. Sure enough, he got a nibble and reeled himself in a suspected petty larcenist. That's a big catch. Mejia held the snatcher there by himself until police arrived. Now, Mr. Mejia, he handled the situation well, but remember, authorities have always cautioned civilians from engaging with a suspected criminal. Thankfully, suspect wasn't armed, so no one was hurt. Mm. But, you know, it's annoying. When
I just wanted that. You couldn't have stopped me.
You think the instinct would have just kicked in? You said, this guy just needs to learn.
You'd have been going to jail. You'd have gone to jail.
No. Turn the porch cam off. I'm not saying to do it, but turn the porch cam off first. There's no evidence.
Take him back around, right around back. Get a couple of the
You want to meet my Rottweilers?
If you guys want some fun, go online, go on YouTube, and look up. There's a guy who makes these very elaborate
the bait packages.
The glitter
bombs.
You ever watch these?
The glitter bombs.
Yeah. And he puts a camera in there so it films, like, and he can get it from a distance. And he watches these people open these packages
in a car,
pop all over their face,
brilliant.
Glitter all over the face. It is brilliant, and it's so satisfying to watch. There's just this comeuppance that you're happy to watch.
I know people that have taken Amazon, because Amazon sends boxes. Right, we try to recycle them to the Amazon distribution hubs.
Sure,
we'll often use them to repackage and reship stuff because friends and family all across the country that we send stuff to on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, I burn mine in a barrel, but that's
you just look at your saving on gas and eat. I've got a friend who puts his litter box cleanings.
Oh, and then he puts
it
back
puts
on the porch.
And puts it back out for theft. That's a little bundle.
That's pretty
of fun.
Good.
Yeah,
that is fun because that doesn't get off quick and it smells
right.
The awful smell.